Welcome to the Virtual Power Teams podcast, the number one podcast for working remotely and building powerful virtual teams. My name is Peter Ivanov, international keynote speaker and author of the book Virtual Power Teams, translated in six languages. Tune in every Tuesday for the very latest in virtual leadership or visit my website, peter-ivanov.com.
Let's explore what are the latest trends in virtual teams and remote working. Well, COVID-19 forced us to work remotely, working from home, the lockdown, and we responded well with the good digital skills. But the longer this period lasts and expands, the more we need to set goals remotely, resolve conflicts remotely, establish a structured communication, not just update meetings, and then maintain the team spirit. And for this, we need a system. So let's see how the remote and virtual teams are organizing themselves. What are the latest trends? So we'll cover four points. Distributed teams, which has been around in the global corporations. Fully remote teams, where there is no office, everybody is in different location, working from home or co-location, co-working space. Virtual teams would be the combination between that would be like distributed, remote, or hybrid teams when you have some people co-located, but the other satellite members. And one of the very latest trends is called flash teams, which are virtual teams on demand, collected in a couple of hours, would have a team mobilized for you. And then we will explore now, as the industry grows more innovative, and the innovation companies like Netflix, for example, the companies that can deliver sustainable innovation at a quicker pace, they are the ones that dominate the market. How they mobilize their global teams. So a little bit on the how. So distributed, remote, virtual, flash, and then virtual teams that drive innovation. Now, distributed teams, as I said, they have been around, particularly the global companies. They have, you know, one office in New York, one in Berlin, and then another in Tokyo or Sydney. And in this office, you have, you know, hundreds, sometimes thousands of people, and they work in virtual teams. They work on a project, five people from New York, another three from Tokyo, and so on. Now, those virtual teams, those distributed teams, distributed because you have certain hubs with co-located people, key there is to set the goal bottom-up, not the manager to go into the temptation because he has some corporate targets, he has some bonus targets, he just cascade down, top-down, here we are, but to debate with the team and set the goal bottom-up. And in one of my previous podcasts, I was giving a detailed kind of method and process for goal setting, but it is key to establish the hottest topics as a team, to convert them into their SMART goals, and then build on them the strategic roadmap. So you go through the process, why, who even, who are the stakeholders, what, and then how. And this as a team. And technology is brilliant, some people shy, but with whiteboard, with breakout rooms, you could facilitate this process and establish the goal bottom-up. Again, now, decision-making, it's another point by distributed teams. Decision, actually for all virtual teams, without exception, should not be just the prerogative of the manager. There are situations, there are crisis situations when decision has to be made quick, but otherwise important decisions have to be made as a team. And there are, again, several methods, and I was alluding by blog and so on in my previous podcast. The key here is also, if you have satellite members, which work from another location, like head office is in London, but I have a few people in Germany, and I was in this situation when I was working for a big multinational from Hamburg. These satellite members don't have the same context as the people in the head office. They don't have the opportunity to meet the boss for lunch or go for a coffee or tea. So they lack the context. And if you want your team members, particularly the satellite members, to be empowered and to give their all weight and performance, you have to provide them this bigger context. You have to over-communicate, as we were telling. You have to explain not just, you know, between the lines and informally with the other people which sit next to you. Explain the big why, the bigger context, and make sure they understand the goal, not just the task in particular. Now, recently, I've been talking to Dropbox, and they went virtual first. So Dropbox was a typical distributed company with, you know, beautiful offices, if I'm not mistaken, in San Francisco, but in the US, and one in Hamburg, which I visited here. Now, they decided, after several months of Corona, they decided to go virtual first, they call it. And they even do it open source. If you Google, you will find their tool set to establish the virtual first culture. What does virtual first mean? Virtual first means three things. First, every work that you can do remote, every individual work, individual contribution, like, you know, calling, emailing, you do remote. That's the rule. You don't need an office for that. You could do it from home. If you don't have a good conditions at home, they will provide you a proper co-working space, a proper really budget to have a proper productive working space. But individual work, you do remote. That was actually one. Two was that they will provide you, if you don't have at home good conditions, you can have a budget for a co-working space. And three, they will build the Dropbox studios, they call them, places where people will get together to establish goals, to collaborate, to take decisions, to brainstorm, and to have fun together and celebrate. So there will be places where people will get together, integrate, feel of this part of this community and company. But maybe for the most of the work is virtual first. Individual will do it either at home or in the co-working space. So this is just to say that in the distributed teams, even if you have the studios or the head offices, which in some companies are quite beautiful and appealing, the level of remote work will increase, but there will be an opportunity to get together and set the strategy, set the goals, collaborate, brainstorm, and celebrate. The second are the fully remote teams. Again, I've met companies even before COVID, which has decided not to have an office, and sometimes 1,000-plus people companies, quite big. Now, there, they have been working remote for many years. I think the key element for those that succeeded and remained in the business is that they managed to do the product development, the strategic product roadmap together. And the best practice there is the leadership team, and these companies are quite flat, they get together. Actually, they meet all people, all hands, they meet twice a year. This is not a panacea. You could adjust it for your reality, but you have to meet on a regular basis. And twice sound to be a good number. It could be maybe minimum once, could be more than that, could be each quarter. They meet twice a year, all hands. And 6 weeks before, the leadership team gets together and decide what will be the, not just the agenda of the meeting, but what's the exact flow, what will be the facilitation in order to arrive at the outcome they want to achieve. And usually the outcome is the product roadmap for the next 6 months. So they get together, brainstorm, and make a process. What will be the forums for individual contribution? There will be some blocks sent for people to send input even beforehand. Then in a smaller groups to tune and work on some issues, and then get together and make some decisions. So if you have a fully remote team, you have to provide time and space to people to get together. And it seems like twice a year is a minimum. And then they also realize that as years go by, that's good. People can still see who are their colleagues and feel them and touch them and embrace them. But also, you need to provide opportunities for people to integrate in local communities, which means we are social human beings, and we need the personal touch. And when they started, even in the co-working spaces, in fact, that was one of the points. Just working from home and nice cafes sometimes was not enough because you always meet strangers. So some of them provided opportunities like Dropbox did to work from the co-working space. Some of them even went further and supported them to integrate with some local communities which have a noble purpose, which makes sense, which they choose based on their preference for a better world. But you need to establish, if you go fully remote, not just, task to do, but also ability to integrate in local communities. Now, the third one are flash teams, as I mentioned. This is not very new. It was before COVID, but now it's growing. It is actually originated from Stanford University. They introduced the term, and if you Google, you will find. But these are essentially virtual teams on demand, which you could mobilize within. Somebody will mobilize it for you and their suppliers and service providers in this space. And I partner with some of these companies, which have done the work to interview and to categorize a large number of experts. And they're particularly popular in the IT space, programmers and so on. So these people have been profiled with their, another key concept is this micro roles. So people have been profiled with their key expertise. And if there is a role which requires this key expertise, they've been proven to be able to do it. So once you get a project, they would break it down in a chunkable chunks, in a digestible chunks, which can map to the people from their big database. They have thousands and tens of thousands of programmers and other experts well profiled. So they will mobilize a virtual team for your need. And key there is for sure to have a big database with experts and also to have a process and a system which controls the handover points. Because once you chunk it and somebody delivers, it has to be checked for quality and handed over to the next expert. Otherwise, you will waste time. And again, you may go into the multi kind of errors and the result will not be satisfactory. So having the proven experts and a system that controls the quality and hands over And for sure, you need some people on top. This enables this flash team to work. And funny enough, we know that for global teams and virtual power teams, which is my kind of motto and company, and this is what I'm inspiring people for, the power of virtual teams or building virtual power teams, the big element there is trust, you know, to build trust despite the distance. And I have several ways that I shared so far, like the live journey, and we have the four magic questions to introduce to each other and build rapport. But for flash teams, they say they are trustless. Sometimes the experts don't know each other. They just have the right profile and the right system. So it's another concept that is gaining popularity and delivers results. It's not applicable everywhere. If you want to drive innovation, that wouldn't work. But if it's like operational, you need to build some quickly, some digital products, apparently it does work. Now, innovation, that will be the last point, as I promised. The more innovation you want to drive with your team and organization, the less rules you need. And I've been always propagating that micromanagement is not an option as virtual teams. You cannot control them, you don't see them, and it is counterproductive, even if you can, to the extent that you can. And now the new books that appear, a new book appeared called No Rules, Rules. This is from founder of Netflix, Reed Hastings, and Erin Mayer, an INSEAD professor, famous with her book, The Culture Map. So they analyzed the culture of Netflix, which managed within, you know, 99 founded in 20 years. They managed from a company which was unknown now to kind of turn around the entertainment market. They introduced many innovative products, and they discovered this, that no rules actually deliver better results. Imagine they don't have a policy for vacation. You can take as much as you wish or don't take at all. They don't have policy for expense approval. They have unimaginable freedom, but freedom and responsibility, they are principle. So I would just highlight three of the principles in the book. It's a worthwhile reading. And the first one is, they call it talent density. So they really gather the top talent. And as Steve Jobs was saying in one of the late Steve Jobs in one of the interviews, he said that if you land somewhere and you get a taxi driver, the difference between the worst taxi driver, and now they all use Google Maps or navigation, but the difference between the worst and the best, who can get the best route and line him, is like 25%. But in the programming world, I think he said in the interview, it's like 70 times, 70. There was an experiment in California, some said like scientifically proven in debugging and so on, is like 10 to 20 times. And Bill Gates is saying even it's like 10,000 times. The best programmer is 10,000 times better than the average one, not the worst one. So it's really in the digital space, the level of thinking in algorithms, discovering patterns and so on, some people are much better than the others. So they get the top talent and they are keeping criteria. If you just do a good job, they give you a generous severance package and you can go. But the criteria to keep is if some of the competitors, of the main competitors, would like to take you and the boss is willing to fight hard to keep you, then these people should stay in the company. So take these A players, build a talent density, just establish a company of stunning colleagues. And then the other point is, if you have a stunning colleague with great ideas and A players, it would be stupid to tell them what to do. So that's again Steve Jobs' discovery. So they lead not through control, micromanagement and automation, but they lead through context. And what does it mean? It is well described, but you are not supposed to please your boss. You could do things even if your boss disagrees, provided you follow the context given by the boss. And if I go now into detail, it will take much longer. But you provide guidance and really give them the freedom to make the decision. You leave it at the level where they are informed. They leave it and read it every day. So do not control and ask for signature. Provide the right context, like expand globally, expand internationally. That was one of the examples that Reed, the founder, gave. And then on each level, people figure it out. What can I do it? You know, like I go India now. And then the next level decided to go for children animation, not just for adults, because it has a potential and you could bring new movies, make the world like a global village. So next level, if you have the right context, you are empowered to decide. And even if your direct superior disagree, you go for it. So talent density, lead through concept. And the third one is candid feedback. Always be honest when you give feedback. Because if you take control, people will do mistakes and that's okay. As long as you learn intensively, it's okay to do mistakes, but you have to get feedback so you could learn as much as you can. And there are beautiful formats around 360 feedback. One of the forms that I've been using for years, start, stop, continue doing. I just realized Netflix use it all over the place. and in a group format. And it's a really beautiful format that I could recommend. I'll just explain it very briefly. We go into the direction continue doing, which is good. That you do is good and we appreciate it. And people give feedback. So one is the recipient and all the team members publicly will give him feedback in these three criteria. So when you receive feedback, you get from somebody, continue doing. This is good. I appreciate more of it. Stop doing. Maybe you do it with good intention. It doesn't help us. And then start doing. This is something that you can do. And if you do, we could be stronger as a team. So it's like one third is good. The other two are development opportunities. It may sound a bit harsh, but if you do it with care and appreciation, it has extremely bonding effect for the team. And it establishes this culture of feedback where mistakes are okay. We are here to learn together and grow and develop together. So hope you find something useful for you. Some tips for the distributed teams, for the fully remote teams, for the hybrid teams, and then the new trend on the flash teams, and then how to drive innovative culture with global virtual teams. I wish you good luck building your own virtual power team. And big virtual power hack from me, Peter Ivanov. And I see you next week.
Thank you for listening to this week's Virtual Power Teams podcast. Review and subscribe to get the latest episodes. And remember to pick up your copy of the book Power Teams Beyond Borders to create your own virtual power team. See you next week.